Thank you, Brother Ryan. It's a joy to be here today at First Baptist Church in Bryan, Ohio. We always love to come here. And Ryan, you did a good job of leading singing. It's really sort of neat to look up and see his dark hair. Dr. Fair, remember when we had dark hair? Do you remember that? We've known Dr. and Sister Fair for a long time, and they've both been a real blessing to us. Only one thing that he taught me I was never able to develop. He has a habit, and a good habit. He calls his dear wife Sue precious. And I have not quite accomplished calling Debbie precious all the time. So Debbie is precious, but I haven't accomplished that like I'd like to. It's good to see you all today. My wife Debbie, just put your hand up and wave to him there. Debbie's going to give a testimony tonight. I know some of you, for whatever reason, won't be able to come tonight, but I encourage you all to come. We'll be glad to be here. She's going to give a little more testimony update. I'm going to say just a few things about what we've done, but not as much as she may tonight. We've been back in the United States for about 5 years now. We were in Germany for 4 years, from 2008 to 2012, and then we were in Sasebo, Japan, for 6.5 years, and so the Lord blessed us there at 2 military churches. In BIMI, Baptist International Missions, the military work, that's what we do, is establish a church right outside of the base, not on the base, but outside the base. And BIMI has several churches around the world, military churches. The one in Okinawa, Japan, has been there for over 50 years. Dr. James Kennard and another man helped find that, found that church in Okinawa there over 50 years ago. So there's a great need to reach our military, and we certainly need to be in prayer for them, don't we, at this time in our world situation, that they need our prayers and support and care. Most recently, Debbie and I were in Germany here in January of this year, and we were there for a month. We were planning to be there 3 months. We were at the Spangdellum Air Force Base, close to Bitburg, Germany, and we were having a good time there. They had a beautiful church, and it used to be a tavern kind of a place, but they had fixed it up and made it beautiful, and it was real close. So we could see F-16s fly past our kitchen window on a clear day there, and that was really neat to just see them fly right past our window. And we were there, but the Lord knows about it. But when we got there, the first full day in Germany, my heart went into AFib. I have atrial fibrillation, and some of you here may have that. And God knows, and he takes care of us, and he can help us through it. And of course, I had a cardioversion. My heart was shocked and in a German hospital, and I went back and started again. And then for 25 days, I was doing fine, and then it went into AFib again. And so the second time, that was Bitburg, Germany, the doctor there, he said, well, I think you probably need to go back to the States and see your cardiologist. So we had to leave the church early, and that's not what we had planned to do, but God knows about it. And the people there, they had three preachers in the church that were able to preach. One was a military Air Force chaplain, Chaplain Miller, and he preached on Sunday evenings for him. And another young man who wants to be a preacher, who's now in North Dakota now, he just got transferred, he preached some. So we didn't leave him empty-handed. It's called Eiffel Baptist Church is where we were, and we do love filling in for churches like that. Now, we may not be able to go overseas, but there's opportunities in the U.S. that we might be able to do that, and I'll let Debbie share more about that. You know, I'm really grateful to be here today for Pastor John McFarland. I know you folks love him. He's a wonderful pastor. I did talk to him on Wednesday. I probably shouldn't have called him. I didn't realize he was on vacation. And, of course, he wasn't upset that I called him, but he was in Greenville, South Carolina. And I just told him that we're planning to come, we're ready to go and all that. So yeah, he was glad to hear that, and that's where he was. And then they're going up into Pennsylvania, I know, for I think this coming week until they get back here. I want to thank you for my prayers. Debbie and I appreciate your prayers for us. I had my third heart ablation surgery on January 6th, and I seem to be doing pretty good and stable for that. So, and pray for Debbie, my dear wife. Debbie found out in Japan that she had macular degeneration. It's the wet kind, and she gets shots in her eyes. And so she had a Japanese doctor whom we couldn't communicate with. And so we had an interpreter that went there. And we come back to the States and we look for a retina specialist. And they send us to a Korean doctor. He's Dr. Kim. So she's had a Japanese doctor and now a Korean doctor. And he's real good. And she's been stable with her eyes. If any of you have that, you know it affects your retina. And there's a swelling that can take place. And those shots help keep that swelling down. So we're just grateful to be here today. If you turn your Bibles to Romans 15, if you would, please. We're definitely going to have a gospel message today because that's what the message is about, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Before I get to the message, it's Romans 15. It will be in 13:21. I don't like to just be a humorist. I think as Christians, we ought to have a good time. But I like to tell a little lighthearted story first. It might just get you thinking. It doesn't really go with the message, but I think it's worthwhile. I think you might get a chuckle out of it anyway. The pastor was preoccupied with thoughts of how he was going to ask the congregation to come up with more money that they were expecting to use for the church repairs on the building. Therefore, he was annoyed to find that the regular organist was sick and a substitute had to take her place at the last minute. The substitute wanted to know what we were supposed to play. And he said, "Oh, here's a copy of the service," the pastor said impatiently, "but you'll have to think of something to play after I make the announcement about our finances." So during the service, the pastor paused and said, "Brothers and sisters, we are in great difficulty. The roof repairs cost twice as much as we expected, and we need $4,000 more, and any of you can pledge $100 or more, please stand up." So at that very moment, the substitute organist played the Star Spangled Banner. And that is how the substitute organist became the regular organist at this church. Well, I don't know if that's wholeheartedly true or not, but it makes for a neat story anyway. Let's read there in Romans 15:13-21, and Paul talks here about preaching the gospel and the importance of it. And if you have your Bibles open there to Romans 15, we'll begin in verse 13. "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about into Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the honor to be here at this pulpit, in this church, in this town. Thank you for the people who have come out to worship the name of the Lord today. We thank you that you love us. Even though we're unworthy of your grace and mercy, we thank you that you've saved us. Fill us with thy Holy Spirit that we might understand the truths of the Scripture. Help me to share some just simple things about the importance of the gospel and how Paul preached it and how others have declared it over the years. Lord, we just thank you for your great grace and mercy and for your great love. We pray that you'd help me now. Be with the McFarlands who are away. Give them safety and bring them back to safety. Lord, and we pray at this time for our country, that you would draw our country, that there would be revival, Lord. We need revival in our hearts and in our land. And Lord, we pray for our military people and men and women around the world. Many are close to being in harm's way. wherever they might be, in the Mediterranean or in Korea or Germany or things, Lord. We pray that you watch over the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, and National Guard people, and bless them and draw them unto thee and their leaders, Lord. We just thank you that you love us. We pray that you just guide us today. And maybe if there's someone here today that hasn't asked Christ to be their Savior, that they might receive Christ at this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse 19, Paul let us know that there's a great power in the preaching of the gospel. Verse 19, I'll just reread it again. Through many signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about until Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. We know that Paul was one of the greatest preachers of the gospel of Christ. And someday in heaven, we'll get to meet Paul. That'll be good, won't it? As well as other loved ones and friends. I'm longing for that day, and I'm sure you are too. Paul wanted to boast in Christ to the Roman believers about how God had used him to spread the good news all the way from Jerusalem to Roman province of Illyricum, modern Albania. God had approved of Paul's ministry by anticipating it, signs and wonders and many conversions. These miracles, signs, and wonders are verified. If you would, please, if you'll turn to Acts 19, 11, and 12, I'll keep you sort of busy with some scriptures to look at today. Acts 19, 11, and 12. In verse 11, and God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto him the sick, handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. You know, not only did Paul preach the gospel of Christ, but Jesus preached the gospel of Christ, didn't he? His own gospel, or Matthew 4:24. You're welcome to turn to that. You don't have to, but just one verse I'm going to read there, and about Jesus preaching the gospel. And Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. I want to share something about the gospel. It doesn't say who the original person of this that I could give credit for, but this is a neat thing to think about. The gospel. The strangest argument for the gospel of Christ is the personal testimony of someone whose life has been changed by it. Charles Bradlaugh, an avowed infidel, once challenged the Reverend H.P. Hughes to a debate. The preacher, who was at the head of the rescue mission in London, that's this man, H.P. Hughes, he accepted the challenge with the condition that he could bring with him 100 men and women whose lives have been changed by the gospel of Christ. Well, that was quite a thing to think of, wasn't it? They would be people who once lived in deep sin, some having come from poverty-stricken homes, caused by the vices of their parents. Preacher Hughes said that they would not only tell stories of their conversions, but would submit to the cross examination by any who doubted their stories. Furthermore, the minister invited the opponent to bring a group of non-believers as well, who were helped by their lack of faith. When the appointed day arrived, the preacher came, accompanied by 100 transformed persons, but Mr. Bradlaugh never showed up and never brought anybody with him. The result, the meeting turned in testimony time, and many sinners who had gathered to hear the debate were converted to Christ. Amazing story, and it does say author unknown. I like what Charles Haddon Spurgeon said about infidels and atheists. He said, atheism is a strange kind of thing. Even the devil didn't fall into that device. James 2:19, we think of that verse there. It says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well, for the devils believe and tremble. And now Paul states about the power of the gospel in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Isn't it a wonderful power? It's the dynamite of God, isn't it? You who would be Greek scholars, which I'm not, would know that that refers to dynamite, the power of the God, the gospel. It's an amazing thing to think about the will of God and the Holy Spirit working in the message and the songs and the things that we sing that bring together how we can be saved. How do we explain the gospel? Well, let's use a scriptural explanation. The best I can do, I can't think of anything. I don't have any great ideas of my own and stuff, but when I go to the Bible and we look for answers there, we find the truth. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. And I know you're familiar with this passage, but when I think about the gospel, there's no other passage we could go to than this. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, please. Some of you could quote these verses, or some of them by yourself. They're good verses to memorize. Paul speaks here in Corinthians. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which you also are saved, if you keep in memory that which I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. You know, a child can understand these great truths, can't they? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, he says, Pastor Steve, that's just a simple message. Well, the gospel's a simple truth, isn't it? I think in 2 Corinthians 11:3, but it says, by fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve with his craftiness, so should your minds be corrupted with the simplicity that's in Christ. There's simplicity in believing the gospel. When I got saved back in the Navy, I didn't really understand, that's been over about 53 years ago, that you just had to believe on Christ to be saved. I thought people worked their way for salvation, or joined the church, or got baptized. I used to sort of think those things. I grew up in a modernistic church there in central Indiana. We lived on a farm, and I went to this little country church, and I didn't really clear to hear the gospel there. Matter of fact, when I was 12 years old, one time I went forward to church, and the pastor was surprised because hardly anybody ever came forward in church, and he really didn't know what to do with me. It's sad to say, but it's true. I'm not, this man's gone on now, but I know the pastor. I remember his name and everything. And he said, is there anything you want to say? And I said, well, no, there's nothing I want to say. I needed to get saved. But sad to say, he didn't know how to show me how to be saved. And maybe he'd just never been trained in that way. I was in a catechism class, and it was a United Methodist Church. Later on, I got sprinkled, which did no good either. And so I went on in my sin till I was about 20 years old when I got saved in the Navy. Because at that time in the Navy, a friend of mine took me to a gospel meeting where Bill Hall, the evangelist, was preaching. And the personal worker afterward took me and showed me Romans Road. Romans 3:23, for all of sin to come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't it neat to know that it's a gift? Salvation's a gift, something you just received. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. It's a free gift to get. And Romans 10:13, of course, says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In verse 1 of this portion here, we see that Paul declared the gospel. He preached these truths everywhere he went. Paul's followers both received the truth and stand in this truth. And then in verse 2, we see Paul reaffirms the fact that we are saved through the gospel of salvation. This is how you and I are born again into God's family. As the Lord Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3:3, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. You must see what Jesus did for you on the cross. You must see it through the eyes of faith. And you must receive Christ to be saved, realizing he died for your wicked sins. I'm just a wicked sinner, saved by the grace of God. Isn't that good? I deserve to be in a place called hell, but I don't want to go there. Hell's a terrible thing to think of. And millions of people are headed for hell right now. And oftentimes we don't have the burden to really care for them and to really speak the truth of the gospel to others. And then Jesus died for your sin and my sin on the cross. Let's take a minute and go to the Old Testament, please. Isaiah 53:5-6. These are two wonderful prophecy verses about the coming of the Messiah, Jesus, how he would die for him. I know you're familiar with these verses, but it's good to read some familiar verses sometimes and see what Jesus has to say for us. This is in Isaiah, of course, in the Old Testament, Isaiah 53:5-6. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Stay right there just a minute. I want to share just a little illustration. I read in an old devotional book. I've got an old devotional book at home from the old-fashioned revival hour with Charles Fuller. Some of you are old enough to hear that in times past. And he talks about this man was waiting with another guy on a train. They were going to take different trains, and he was trying to share the gospel with him. And he didn't have time to share anymore. But look at verse 6. He said, here's what I want you to do, my friend. I want you to read Isaiah 53:6. He says, I want you to go in at the first stall and come out at the last stall. See that verse? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Go in at the first stall, he told him. He couldn't have time to tell him any more because he had to get his train, and come out at the last stall. Have you gone in at the first stall and come out at the last stall in that verse? All we like sheep. But Jesus laid on him was the iniquity of us all was laid. And of course, this is the suffering of Jesus proclaimed in the Old Testament. He paid the penalty for our sins. He died for our sins. For it's by one man sin of the world and death by sin. So then that death has passed upon all men for all of sins, it tells us in Romans 5:12. And then we see in verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 15, Paul tells exactly what he knows about the death of Christ on Calvary. He tells him that he's seen the risen Savior. The other disciples had seen him, but Paul got to see a personal vision of Jesus himself when he got converted, didn't he? And Jesus did rise from the dead. In 1 Corinthians 11:2, you don't have to turn to it, it says, Paul says there, now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. The truth of the gospel, the word of the gospel. He said to keep the gospel there. And then verse 4 of this same passage, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, Paul expresses the importance of the resurrection of Christ from the dead. It's all according to the truth of scriptures. Go with me to Luke just a minute. And we'll go on the Emmaus Road. Be good to walk down the Emmaus Road. Would you like to walk down that Emmaus Road that day with Jesus? And not really knowing who he was, but yet then being revealed who he was. Let's see what he said to the disciples then. There, the two disciples. Luke 24, 25, 26, and then 46. We'll hit this, those three verses. Luke 24:25, 26, and 46. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise again from the third day. Aren't you glad we serve a living Savior, and he's in the world today? We sing that at Easter, but we could sing it every Sunday and really be appropriate, couldn't we? We do serve a living Savior. How important is the gospel to you is my next question. Consider what Paul said once again and back in our text passage. I'm going to read that one more time because it's really the key verse here about the gospel. Consider what Paul said in our text today in Romans 15:19. Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God so that from Jerusalem and round about Illyricum I have fully preach the gospel of Christ. Paul was a preacher of the gospel. Are you and I attempting to share the gospel? You know, personally, I often fall short of sharing the gospel. Debbie and I love to give out gospel tracts. Debbie came up with this idea in Japan. I liked it. She took a little plastic bag, and a lot of times we use those little, I'll get one out here. Visual demonstration, the little smiley faces that have a good message in it, smile, Jesus loves you, but it has a good message in it. So we put them in two of those good mints that people like in a plastic bag, and we hand them out to people. In Japan, that's the only thing we could do. People asked me, do you speak any Japanese? I said, yes, I speak about three phrases. Arigato gozaimasu, thank you very much. And, good afternoon, konnichiwa, and good night, kanbanwa. So we couldn't speak Japanese, but we could give out tracts in Japanese. Now, we didn't give out English tracts. We put two mints in a little bag, and we give them out at the toll booths, because there's no free roads in Japan, except the old kind of roads. If there's any toll road, it's a pay road. And so we give them out there. We give them out in the store when we could. You can't always give a track out at the store, but it's not wrong to do it. You don't want to hold up the line because you're giving out a track or something particularly. But it's good to give out a gospel message. And of course, over the years, I've loved to use God's Simple Plan of Salvation. I have it in a couple forms here. I used to help print and fold that tract that Dr. Porter wrote in 1933. And now millions have gone all over the world. And a lot of churches use them. They put their imprints and their times of their service on them. So it's good to be a witness for Christ. We need to get the word out, don't we? But I do fall short. Romans 10, 13 and 14 says, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Well, certainly many of you are not called to preach, but we're all called to give out the gospel, aren't we? Amen. Everyone here is called to give out the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that way you're a preacher. You're not the pastor of a church, but you're a preacher. You're to share the gospel of Christ. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3:15. Let's turn to that one, please. It's a key verse, I think, for our message today. So let's just look at that, 1 Peter 3:15, because you need to have an answer ready to give out. It says, But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of him, the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Just a little illustration. I don't know if you've ever, in recent days, given out the gospel to somebody. There's a man in our neighborhood. We live in an apartment complex on the east side of Indianapolis, and it's a nice complex. And a man recently had a motorcycle wreck. His name's Mike. And I'd see him in the mornings walking around because, boy, he's got a brace up on his neck and a brace on his chest. And he was walking around to get exercise. Thank the Lord he lived through it. And I saw him coming one day. He said, I've never given Mike the gospel. So I said, I better give him the gospel. You know, the Lord may come back. He may die. And I need to give him the gospel. So what I did, I just gave him, in a brief way, the Romans Road. Because I know how to do that. I've got those verses in my heart. I hope you have some verses in your heart. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. Are you memorizing some verses? I keep 3x5 cards in my pocket and try and learn new verses. Boy, I don't learn them as good as I used to. They come a little harder now, but it's good to learn verses. So I gave Mike the Romans Road that day. And he listened. And I said, Mike, have you ever asked Christ to be your Savior? He said, No, I've never really heard about that. Now, Mike didn't get saved, but I did my responsibility by giving him the gospel. I at least gave him the gospel that he could hear. And maybe I'll get another opportunity to give him the gospel. So we need to be doing that. We need to be getting out the gospel. How long has it been since you actually shared the Bible way of salvation through faith in Christ? How long has it been since you gave somebody a tract or told them about how to be saved? One time I heard Dr. John R. Rice, and he said he was in a meeting one time, and there was a man of a Pentecostal nature who got all excited. And he was hooping and hollering and running around the church. And this was in an independent fundamental type meeting. And he came up front and all excited. And Dr. Rice, if you ever saw Dr. Rice, I've been in a couple meetings with him. He had those glasses. And he looked down at him. He said, Son, have you won anybody to the Lord in recent days? He said, No. He said, Well, be quiet. You don't have anything to shout about. That was Dr. John R. Rice, a good old trooper of the faith. Remember, salvation is all of faith, all of grace, and all of Christ. Ephesians 2:8-9, For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's really true, isn't it? In just a moment, I'm not quite ready yet, but I'm going to ask for maybe a couple volunteers. This is a little unusual. I know Pastor John doesn't usually do this. I've got a couple visuals, and if I had a couple young people or something to help me, so think about it. If you're brave enough to do it, I've got a little gift in my pocket I will give you if you can help. You know, if we do good works to earn our salvation, it wouldn't be a gift, would it? It wouldn't be coming from God. You know, we don't need to be ashamed of the gospel, for it is God's chosen way to bring salvation to a lost mankind. Listen to what E. Stanley Jones said. He put it this way: religions are men's search for God. The gospel is God's search for man. There are many religions, but only one gospel. Only one gospel to get saved. Isn't that true? Well, since I mentioned the word volunteers, any couple of young people want to volunteer to help just a minute? Oh, good. What's your name, buddy?
Gabe.
Let's see. Stand right down the front. I think I might need to bring my verses down there because everybody can't see it. Who else wants to help? Anybody else want to help Gabe? One other helper? They're all bashful, Gabe, but you may have to pick a buddy. Okay. Well, this young lady right here. Thank you. Now, we're going to sing a little song, and it's not all quite here, but the only thing I know to do right now so you can all to see it is hold it up, okay? Young lady, since you're the tallest, what's your first name?
Beth.
Hi, Beth. Will you hold this one sort of in front of you down there and face the people? Maybe they can see it that way. Miss Debbie's going to help me. And Gabe, if you've just got a short part here. This is a song about the gospel. We're going to sing it. What, the other way? Oh, Gabe, I guess we need to switch. The good thing Debbie's down there. Get close. Now get closer. Okay, is that better?
He needs to be on the other side.
Oh, okay. Well, this is interesting anyway. Debbie's going to help me. Now, the whole song's not here anyway. I worked real hard on this week, and I just ran out of paper energy. But this is the most important part of the song. And you get a spell with me. How many can still spell? Okay. Debbie, you help me as we started with it. G-O-S-P-L spells gospel, spells gospel. G-O-S-P-L means good news, Jesus died for sinful men, but he arose and lives again. Okay, can we stop just a second? I guess we will. There's a little more of the song, and I didn't have it put it on paper. And the last of it says, and one day he's coming for those who've trusted him, coming to take us to heaven. Now, you got that in your mind, you can ad-lib a little of that, okay? You guys are good. Thank you, I appreciate it. Let's try it one more time. Let's spell the gospel again. G-O-S-P-L spells gospel, spells gospel. G-O-S-P-L means good news, Jesus died for sinful men, but he arose and lives again. One day he's coming for those who've trusted him, coming to take us to heaven. Very good. You two don't go away. You've done so good. I've got something else for you to do. And I do have a little gift for you, man. I'll just sit this here for a minute. If it'll stay, it doesn't have to be seen. Now, Debbie and I spent several years in Child Evangelism Fellowship. In our early days, we graduated from Indiana Baptist College in 1976, and we were led to go to Terre Haute and work with CEF, Child Evangelism Fellowship. And what I'm going to do, I know what's on these verses. You hold one side, dear, and you hold the other side. Now, I'm going to present the gospel in just a simple way. Now, I know Dr. Fair would agree with me. Every Bible message, every Sunday school lesson ought to have the gospel in it. G-O-S-P-L. And this is what it says. Now, that we just got two at a time. I tried to make them a little bigger. And I know what they are, and I'll ask them to maybe change the pages because there's two on each page. But the first, let's make an acrostic, and we got G-O-S-P-L. What's it say, the first one there? The first one, God loves you and me. Now, you always want to have a Bible verse to go along with that. And, of course, a good one is John 3:16. And you can pick another one. There's a lot of other verses that say about the gospel. And you need to get the gospel in your Sunday school lesson. Children need to hear the gospel. They need to know that God loves them, don't they? The day we live in, a lot of kids don't know that Jesus loves them. Then the next word there is the O, the only perfect Son of God. Jesus never sinned, did he? He never did anything wrong. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Okay, so we got G and we got O, right? G is what? God loves you and me. O, only perfect Son of God. Let me take the first one away from you. And then we'll go to the S. The sin. Sin, it says, what's it say? You and I have. Don't you and I have sin? There's a lot of good verses in the Bible. Romans 3:10, it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So you and I all have sinned, don't we? We've all sinned and missed the mark. We've fallen short of God's glory. And it's only by his grace we can be saved. And then we have down below the P. We got S and P, the precious blood of Christ. I know you kids can't see this here. You're probably wondering what I'm saying, but it is the precious blood of Christ. Jesus gave his blood on the cross of Calvary, didn't he? There's a lot of Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Grace. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So we need the G, God loves you. We need the O, the only perfect Son of God. We need the S, you and I have all sinned. And then we always need to have a verse with him. And then we need to include the precious blood of Jesus. If Jesus had died and hadn't given his blood, he couldn't have saved us, could he? So he died and gave his blood on the cross. Then the last two, thank you, kids. I'll take the first one there. And the last two, we have the what? The ever-living Savior, right? Ever-living. He's alive. Aren't you glad? We mentioned that earlier. Aren't you glad Jesus is alive? Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for him. Isn't that good news? This is all good news. This is all the gospel, isn't it? Isn't it? And then the last one, the L, G-O-S-P-E-L, let him come in. Let Jesus come in. John 1:12 is a verse I like. You know, all of you, not only do you have a salvation verse, but you ought to have an assurance verse that you know you're saved. I like to use John 1:12. That's a good verse for let him come in. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe upon his name. And you ought to have an assurance verse. So people, sometimes as you get older, you grow up and they say, well, did I really get saved? Well, use a verse because the devil wants you to be discouraged and not really know that you're saved for sure. And these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life, it says in 1 John 5. So we got the ever-living Savior, and then we got let him come in. So let's just go over it. We'll do it one more time. You guys are doing so good. Let's not the beginning either. Let's just review these for these folks one more time. Because if you don't learn anything else today, I want you to learn the gospel, all right? All right. We got, first of all, God loves you and me. So then the only perfect Son of God. I'll take the first one. Okay, the second one. Sin you and I have, right? And then the precious blood of Christ. Then the last two, of course, are the ever-living Savior, and then let him come in. Well, you guys have done a really good job. I got a little gift for me in my pocket. Would you give him a hand just to thank him for being willing to help? This is called a life or death card. One way it says the gift of God is eternal life, and we invert it. It says the wages of sin is death. The same word, life or death. Here you go. Thank you, young lady. So that's the gospel. It's good to have the gospel, isn't it? It's good to know the gospel. And then number three in my thoughts, Paul also warns us about not taking part of another gospel. You don't have to turn to that, but I'll share that. 2 Corinthians 11:4. For he that cometh preach another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel that you have not accepted, you might well bear with you. Galatians 1:9 says, as we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preach another gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Paul was burdened to preach the gospel because he was called to preach the gospel. Pastor Fair was called to preach the gospel years ago. Pastor McFarland was called to preach the gospel. Maybe there's some other men in here that I don't know of or not aware of that are called to preach the gospel. Maybe you're a young man here and you're called to preach the gospel. You know, we need more preachers of the gospel. We need more kids going to Bible colleges today where they really learn and hear the truth of the Word of God. Not this be a social kind of thing or some kind of sensational kind of thing, but we need kids in Bible college and going to the mission field. Many churches don't have missionaries coming out of the churches now, and I think we need more missionaries coming out of our churches. The gospel needs to be declared and preached, doesn't it? Well, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Where do I fit in the proclamation of the gospel? In verse 14 of that same chapter, 1 Corinthians 9, he says, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live with the gospel. That's quite a commendation, isn't it? If we preach the gospel or declare the gospel, we should live the gospel. Do the very lives that we live before others show we have a new nature in Christ? 2 Corinthians 5:17, you could probably quote that with me. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away and all things have become new. As I close now, let's listen to this great poem by, once again, an unknown author. And maybe you've heard it before. It's been around for years. And think about you in this, because it's the gospel according to you. There's a sweet old story translated from man, but writ in the long, long ago. The gospel according to Mark, Luke, and John of Christ and his mission below. Men read and admire the gospel of Christ with its love so unfailing and true. But what do they say and what do they think of the gospel according to you? 'Tis a wonderful story, that gospel of love, as it shines in the Christ life divine. And oh, that its truth might be told yet again of the story of your life and mine. Unselfishness mirrors in every scene. Love blossoms on every sod. And back from its vision, the heart comes to tell the wonderful goodness of God. You are writing each day a letter to men. Take care that the writing is true. 'Tis the only gospel that some men will read, the gospel according to you. As we come to the close here, I'd like to just mention a couple things. How is the gospel affecting your life? Have you been continually rejecting the conviction of the Holy Spirit in your life so that you haven't asked Christ to be your Savior yet? Or have you been allowing your pastor and the deacons and others in the church to carry out the telling of the story of the gospel? The whole church needs to be busy getting out the gospel, don't they? And there's many ways to do it, through your bus ministry, through BVS, through Bible clubs, through all kinds of outreaches you can do. Would you accept a responsibility on your part to begin to share the gospel story to others who desperately need it? My closing verse, and then we'll have prayer. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. But if our gospel be hid, it is him hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine to them. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for this time today to bring the gospel and truth. Now, many people here have been saved for years, and they know the gospel. But maybe there's some young person or some other person here that stepped into this sanctuary today to worship the Lord, and yet they haven't asked Christ to be their Savior. I pray that they would be burdened to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved this day according to your will, Lord. The Holy Spirit does his office work in convicting and convincing men of sin. But Lord, the person himself has to be willing to respond to the gospel of Christ. Thank you for your blessings. Lord, I pray that you'd work in this invitation time now as our brother comes and leads a song, an invitation. And we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.